7:17 a.m. in studio, the official guest host of the Tennessee Star Report, Grant Henry. And on our newsmaker line now, our very good friend, Braden Buczek, who's the director of litigation for the Southeastern Legal Foundation, previously with the Beacon Center. Good morning, Braden.
Good morning. It's great to be back on.
Well, now, this is a topic that, you know, I didn't know that this was such a big deal. But apparently, there's an issue regarding sidewalk laws. Sidewalk laws? Tell us all about this, Braden.
Yeah, if you didn't know it's a big deal, then you obviously are not one of our many Nashville tourists who seem to enjoy nothing more than taking photographs of Nashville's ridiculous sidewalk schemes, which are a literal Reddit and TikTok theme out there on social media. So if you've been to Nashville for any length of time, what you've noticed is Nashville has the craziest collection of sidewalks. We've got sidewalks that disappear in the middle of nowhere. We've got sidewalks that go into telephone poles. We've got zigzagging sidewalks. And we've got mismatched sidewalks. And most people just think it's silly and ridiculous, but it's actually a product of a bad Nashville law from 2018 that has everything to do with Nashville's terrible financial situation.
Now, you have piqued my interest here. what a great setup. So tell us about the law and tell us why we have unusual sidewalk structures here in Nashville.
Yeah, well, sidewalks are public infrastructure, right? If you've got them in a city, you don't think about them. What they are is your taxpayer dollars go to fund them, and the city builds sidewalks. I mean, if you've got a sidewalk in your yard, it's actually something owned by the government and maintained by the government. So it's a public good. That's fine. We all like sidewalks. The problem for Nashville is that sidewalks are very extensive. And the other problem for Nashville is that Nashville is broke. In fact, a recent assessment of Nashville's finances had us as a bottom five sinkhole city, along there with the likes of like Washington, D.C. and Philadelphia, which makes no sense at all given Nashville's growth rate. It's purely a function of bad fiscal planning on behalf of leadership. So when Nashville suddenly decided in 2018 that it wanted sidewalk schemes because all of the people moving here from out of state wanted to find a way to get tapas at 10 o'clock at night, Nashville had a problem. They had to figure out
That's funny.
How we're going to pay
That
for
is funny,
sidewalks.
Braden. Okay, so keep rolling.
You know, yeah, when Nashville had to figure out how we're going to pay for these sidewalks and they don't have any money, what they decided to do was what governments always do when they run out of money: take something that belongs to someone else. And so what Nashville did is decided that you can't have a building permit for a new home unless you agree to pay for city sidewalks.
Okay,
and so therefore,
you know, I think I'd
sidewalks here. Yeah.
I think I'd heard something like that, and I think people were trying to say, what are you talking about here? How has this all worked out?
It's worked out terribly. So we've actually sued the city over this. We represent two Nashvillians, and these are actual Nashvillians, one of which is a senior citizen who has a small property over there on Ackland Street, and it's a vacant lot. There's nothing on it. And he went to go try and pull his building permit when he found out that he needed to build this crazy sidewalk that would have connected to nothing. There's not a sidewalk on either side of it.
Sort
There's
of a sidewalk a variation on the bridge to nowhere, right? A sidewalk to nowhere.
Precisely. It took Nashville City Council to come up with sidewalks to nowhere.
Well.
So he gets told he's got a sidewalk to nowhere. It gets better. So he's getting ready to build this thing because, you know, this is an investment property for him. And City Stormwater comes out and says, hey, wait a minute. If you build a sidewalk, you're going to be filling in that culvert where the rainwater is diverted. And, you know, any Nashvillian knows most of us have culverts in our yards. That's what we do in rainwater in Nashville. And so if he'd have built the sidewalk, he'd have flooded out his entire neighborhood. So he's got one branch of the city saying, do not build a sidewalk. And another branch of the city telling him he must build a sidewalk. So he actually goes and appeals to the Board of Zoning Authority, and they offered him what they considered to be a compromise, which was he could just pay the city of Nashville $9,000 and not build a sidewalk.
Okay, so basically they're saying, yeah, and they'll take that money and, I don't know, build sidewalks elsewhere. Is that right?
That's right. So they used the money to build sidewalks elsewhere, which is what happened to our other client. So at the end of the day, you've got the city demanding people build sidewalks in their yards they don't want, that the city doesn't want, that their neighbors don't want, and telling them you can just give us $9,000 to pay for someone else's sidewalk to get out of it.
So this sounds like the city of Nashville is practicing, wait for it, sidewalk blackmail. Dun, dun, dun.
Yes. Extortion is the word we've been using.
Sidewalk right. Extortion. Even better. Yep. Grant Henry has a question for you, Brad.
Yeah, hey there, Grant Henry, by the way. This story sounds like a sort of a microcosm of a larger issue in the city of Nashville itself, right, of the way that they govern or sort of the ideology of governance. It seems like Nashville doesn't have a revenue problem. They clearly have a spending problem. Here's the question, though, okay, whether it's sidewalks or anything else, is there an overall solution here? Is it better people elected at city council or the council members? Is it to sue more? Is it to find organizations like yours? What's the overall solution we should go for here?
Well, I mean, it starts with suing. That's what we're going to do, because this is a taking of property. And this is a great example of how budget irresponsibly inevitably leads to the loss of liberty, right? The city's broke. The city can't perform basic functions like building public infrastructure. So what the city does is it starts taking things that don't belong to it. And if the Constitution is about anything, it is about private protection of private property. So we brought this suit, and we're actually getting ready to go up in front of the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is just one court below the United States Supreme Court. And we're really looking forward to hearing what that court has to
say. Why is it going to the Court of Appeals? What happened in the federal district court?
Yeah, so great question. Very interesting. So this actually presents a somewhat novel question of law. The city didn't take the property outright. What the city did is essentially coerce somebody into surrendering property that belonged to them. I.e., you can't have your permit until you agree to hand over property. And we said, that's insane. That's the same thing as taking it. And you know what the district court said? She said that would be unconstitutional if this was an ad hoc decision by an administrator. But because this was an actual law, the Constitution doesn't apply and Metro gets to get away with it. So we're really looking forward to
it. Hold it. Yep. Who was this judge that made that decision?
It was a district court judge here in Nashville, Tennessee.
What was your last name? What was the judge's last name?
This is Judge Trauger, but I really can't.
Well, hold it. Just a minute. I knew that would be the name of the judge, okay? Because I've tracked the track record of Judge Trauger. If it's a stupid federal court decision in the Nashville area, it's been made by Judge Trauger. That's my view, not yours.
Hey, I've got to actually commend Judge Trauger. There was competing authority on this very issue. It was undecided in the circuit, and she just came down on one side.
Because you're going to have to go in court before her again. I'm not going to have to do that.
I have nothing but respect for Judge Trauger. She's been a great judge to me for my entire career.
That is a politic answer. So it goes before the Court of Appeals. What's going to happen there?
Well, we have high degree of confidence in our arguments. We think that that it's flat out insane to say that something that's unconstitutional becomes constitutional when it's enacted into law. I mean, things get worse, not better.
What error are you going to point to in Judge Trauger's, the judge for whom you have great respect, decision against your client? What's the error you're going to point to?
The error is that she said the Constitution doesn't apply because this is a law and not an ad hoc decision. And, you know, you wouldn't make that determination in any other context. You wouldn't say, well, if somebody violates your First Amendment right, it's unconstitutional, but it's okay if the state goes ahead and makes that a law.
So
the Sixth Circuit's going to hear a lot of those kind of arguments.
Was she arguing that a Metro Council law is superior to the U.S. Constitution?
She didn't reach the ruling that directly. What she just said is this whole doctrine, this whole theory you and I have of an unconstitutional condition, i.e. holding permits for ransom, that is not applicable to anything other than an ad hoc decision. But she went ahead and said if this was an ad hoc decision, yeah, I agree with you, this law would be likely unconstitutional.
So when she's not ruling from the court, I think she's busy making pretzels. Twisting and turning. All right, Braden Buczek, that's my view, not yours. Thanks so much for joining us. Bring us up
Thanks.
To date on the sidewalk extortion case.
We will. I'd love to come back after we get a ruling.
All right, Braden, thanks. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, you've waited 7 days, it will be time for Grant's Rants. This is the Tennessee Star Report. I'm Michael Patrick Leahy.